This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you with a grateful heart to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. And if you are listening to this show, chances are you know a little bit about me. I practice shamanic work, among other things. Like most of you, I work in many different ways. But for the past few years, I have been honored to be working with a woman that I consider to be my soul sister, a dear friend, a phenomenal teacher, and really just one of the most beautiful souls I've ever known in this lifetime and probably many others. My dear friend, Lori Lipton, is going to join us today, and we're going to talk about all things soul related, of course. So welcome to Soulful Living, Lori.
Well, thank you, Terry. What a beautiful, exquisite introduction. Thank you. Right back at you.
Well, thank you. It's really interesting because I happened to be interviewed on a show today and I said the same thing to him. And what I really want to say is what he said to me. Like, I feel like that introduction doesn't even do you justice because you are an amazing soul. And every opportunity that I've had to learn from you, which is almost anytime I'm in your presence, really. It's incredible. You are so, you deliver your messages so eloquently and really just share that loving light. You radiate it out to everybody. So thank you.
My honor and privilege to do so.
And on that note, let's jump into all things soul related. This has been an amazing year for you. You have really tapped into one of your dreams besides getting married to the love of your life, right?
Yes.
You started the Sacred Balance Academy.
I did.
Tell us about that.
Well, the Sacred Balance Academy is really a place for us, me, and those of us who are drawn to teaching about what it means to live from the soul, people like you, Terry, and other great teachers, to come and bring through those intuitive gifts and to empower individuals at living from that soul center. What do we mean by that? That other ways to say it would be your true essence, your true nature, and to bring through healing, guidance, manifesting practices with some kind of ethical foundation. As you know, I have a master's in clinical and humanistic psychology, but I don't work in a traditional way, even though I have that traditional training. And I do find that having had the traditional training and the ethical foundation really made a difference for me. And I wanted to create an environment where people can learn with structure, understand certain protocols about what it means to work and live in a shamanic way or an intuitive way, in a holistic way, but with grounded principles that the world could look to and say, okay, there's ethical foundation here, there's concrete protocols here, there's some research and study here where we can see the efficacy, the how are these protocols working? Do they really serve the clients? Do they really serve the students? And is there consistency in the approaches? So that's really the purpose of Sacred Balance, is to empower people at living this very essence-based, soulful life, or working in it. And the way that I teach, as you know, is to really empower people in all professions to understand that they can bring their soul into it. They can live intuitively. So whether you're doing the kind of work that you do as a shamanic practitioner, or I do as a shamanic medium, or Others might do energy healing or Reiki. You can also be a teacher, a mom, a dad, a doctor, a nurse, and still work intuitively and live an intuitive life.
And so when you say live an intuitive life, let's give the listeners clarification by what you mean as living an intuitive life.
Well, I experience intuition as the most natural way of being. When you look at children, and when we've done some research on what happens to the consciousness of children in their developmental experiences, we know that children have access to wisdom and knowledge that really stretches beyond their cognitive understanding. So intuition is accessible to us no matter where we are and who we are. So what does that mean? It means really accessing the non-ordinary realms, the realm of spirit or angels or divinity. I use those words because I want to make it as accessible to the everyday person as possible so that we are accessing those parts of ourselves, those parts of our world and our reality that are always available to us. And they can be available to us in ways that support and nurture whatever spiritual practices we already have, or expand us beyond what we already understand.
Yeah, and I love what you just said there about whatever spiritual practice you have, because it really doesn't matter what you practice, what your religion is, there are tools that are available
once you comprehend and
understand them and how to use them.
Right. And you can use them within the framework of your own life so that you don't have to be, you know, threatened or afraid to use your intuition. You can use them as a, contemplative Christian or Jew or Hindu or Buddhist or shamanic practices, whatever way you experience that divinity, you can bring your intuitive nature into it, because intuition is really about learning to be present, mindful, and aware of the world beyond that which is easily identifiable through our physical senses. So we all have access to that gut instinct or something far greater than our own mind can perceive. And when we learn to quiet ourselves and access the exquisite that is always present within us and in the world, we begin to experience the extraordinary in everyday life. And we can access the innate healing ability of the body, the innate wisdom of our eternal being, and begin to live and create from this extraordinary place that takes us into a world far beyond what we ourselves can really understand or even grasp just from our mind alone.
Well, and I really appreciate what you said earlier in the conversation about children. You know, children are basically born with this knowing.
That's right.
And somehow as we get older and we let society play whatever role in our lives it's going to play, we move away from that way of being.
We're born with in a state of consciousness. The mind functions at various states of consciousness. So the most active state of consciousness is known as a beta state of consciousness. And it's what we need in order to function in our everyday life, to be very active, present to the physical world, to understand time in a linear way, you know, to really just to function. And but we are born at a state of consciousness known as theta consciousness. And that theta consciousness is a far more expansive state. So you know how when you're near a baby and you sort of feel that bliss or that, you know, just peacefulness being near a baby, it's because they're naturally in that state of consciousness, which means they intuit their world. They don't have yet the cognitive functioning that makes the world into you know, compartments, makes it like you're that, I'm this. They experience mm-hmm. their world as all connected and as energy. And so they respond to the energy, loving energy. It, you know, they'll respond to one, you know, to love very easily and effortlessly. They'll respond to noise. They respond to lights. They respond to the world in a very intuitive way. Well, that theta consciousness is the dominant consciousness of children until they get involved in formal education. And once they become involved in formal education, it's not that it goes away. It's just that they, what happens to the child is that we encourage them to live more in the beta consciousness, which is much more logical, formal structures, and they begin to lose touch with the theta consciousness and doesn't become as easily accessible. But it's always there. And in that world, intuition is very easy to access, this broader knowledge, knowledge without evidence. In other words, and Einstein attributed all of his findings to his intuition because his breakthroughs came from knowledge without evidence, just an mm-hmm. understanding of something suddenly coming into him. And then he would use mathematics and science to give the evidence for what came to him intuitively.
And would you say that that's one of your missions in life, is to create a shift in mainstream yes. education so that we don't necessarily lose that, or not lose isn't even the right word, so that we don't forget that, yeah. so that we're taught, you know, from the early stages to really hold on to that intuitive side of us?
I would say, you know this already, Terry, but I'll share with you, when I was a little girl and I was asked, what do I want to be when I grow up? I actually answered the question, you know, very much from a beta consciousness, saying, I want to be a psychologist when I grow up. But then the theta consciousness in me took over, and I announced to my class and my teacher that I came to the world to teach the world to love more. Mm. And that my intention was to help people heal what prevented them from loving more. Now, it is my contention that when we live soulfully or we live intuitively, we live in a state of love. mm-hmm. And we feel the connection to all that is from that state, so then we can do no harm. So from that place, we feel moved to take care of our earth. We feel moved to take care of ourselves well, to take care of one another. And we begin to recognize that we live in a much broader world than just ourselves. And so, yes, would I say it's my intuition to my mission to normalize intuition? Absolutely. To help us remember who we are? Absolutely. And to live from that state of love and create mm-hmm. from that state. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to shift gears here a little bit. I said earlier again in our conversation that you've had some incredible shifts in your world this year, and one of them was becoming an international best-selling author. I know that this is the first of many books that will include Lori Lipton's name. Many of them I know will be your own. I feel that as much as I feel that I'm a mom here, right? But one of the quotes that I read from your book, Bold is Beautiful, from you was, "You are so loved and supported." And this makes me want to cry. I feel like I'm in tears here. I feel tears coming. "You are so loved and supported that you have a dream team of spiritual helpers," I'm getting choked up, "assigned to you for life." That was amazing. And I know that that's kind of what we were talking about, you know, being connected to that intuition. Yeah. But tell us about that book.
So this book is extraordinary because I do my best to live in this intuitive flow. And I had this intention to write this book, and I thought to myself, I'm not so sure how to go about doing this and how do I get published. And the very day that I was sitting in meditation thinking that, this beautiful woman, Kim Boudreaux-Smith, approached me and said, would you like to be a part of this book that I'm putting together? We'll walk you through the entire publishing process. So to me, that was a response from the dream team, of which I write. You get it?
Absolutely.
So I know that it's very hard for those of us who live in this physical world to believe that we are that loved, that there is a group of spiritual beings assigned to us to assist us in living our very best life, because we don't live in a perfect world, right? In many ways, it's very hard to believe it. But we are that loved, and we are that supported. And no matter what our circumstances, no matter how intuitive you think you are or logical you think you are, you still have that team. You still have access to these great beings who live in this non-ordinary reality, angels or helpers, guides of all different types, who are there to give us wisdom, inspire us, to keep us out of trouble, to help us get out of trouble when we find ourselves in trouble. Certainly, they can't intervene on our free will most of the time. We have our own soul path, our own lessons to walk through. But they are like so devoted and consistently whispering to us, in whatever way we'll receive the guidance, the insight, the help, they'll come to us through signs and symbols, through messages from your friends, from the radio, a song, from a television show, a movie, a book you're reading, where you'll just hear that right phrase, that right message will come to you and reach you, and you'll know that something greater is there, and you'll hear it. And it will inspire you to take that right step, that next action, to call a loved one, to turn left instead of going right, you know, to buy that book or to have lunch with that friend. And that's how this dream team works.
Well, and thank God you answered the call, because in this particular book, Bold is the New Beautiful, you wrote a chapter for it. And yes, within less than 48 hours, it became an international bestseller. Oh, my God.
That's correct. Isn't that
awesome
incredible?
How awesome is that, right?
It was so incredible to be a part of it. And to be a part of, you know, there's 28 wonderful women writers, but, you know, really bright, beautiful points of view. And to me, I mean, what greater, you know, gift is there than to have this in one place, 28 remarkable women with different points of view on how they survived, how they thrive, how they contribute to life and feel, you know, that they want to help and serve others in doing it. I wrote from my point of view and they wrote from theirs. And so you get this really rich tapestry within this book. So, and, you know, to really support women and other and men in living their best life. I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. It's about living your best life. I mean, obviously, we get thrown off track. You know, we don't always heed the guidance of our dream team.
That's
sometimes
right.
We fight their guidance and say, no, you've got to be kidding. That's not what I'm going to do.
Right.
Or how am I going to do that? But you still show up. I mean, I think about the story you shared when you first started to answer the call to practice intuitive mediumship, and you literally got bopped on the head and said,
yeah.
And I mean by spirit, not bopped on the head by anybody in particular, listeners, by spirit. And you thought, how am I going to, I can't do that. That's not me. I'm a psychologist.
That's right. I wanted to be normal. And I had this idea in my mind of what that meant. You know, I thought, well, I'm going to be a mother and I'm going to be a psychologist. I'm going to live a certain way. But I had always felt connected to angels and to the divine, but I kept it very private because in our culture, it wasn't really acceptable to talk about it too much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I really didn't let people know that I could see and hear and talk to angels on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And then, as you know, one day I had several encounters, but one extraordinary encounter that changed my life, because it was in that moment that I finally said, okay, what, you know, divinity, what God or source, what would you have me do with this? And it was then that I heard, you know, do readings and open up. And it required me to let go of my idea for my life and open to something far greater than what mm-hmm. I believed my life could be. And that really, what I just said there, that really is the essence of the chapter that I wrote in Bold is Beautiful, Breakthrough Business Strategies, because it's really about the soul of success. What is the soul of success? Is letting go of what you think you're supposed to do and opening up to that which could be greater. And we don't really ever know what that could be, right? Because we have to let go first of what we think life is supposed to bring us, mm-hmm. what we think we're supposed to do, in order to let that soul or heart-centered message rise into our consciousness and then give life to it. And for me, it took courage, because I had to, you know, I had all these preconceived notions. What does it mean? Am I going to be a psychic lady? And, you know, what is that going to mean for my life?
Right. And, do I have to go buy a crystal ball?
Right. That was the big joke. You know, I thought I'm going to have to wear scarves and carry a crystal ball. And, you know, and it became ridiculous, because then I realized I get to still be me. You know, I'm just me, a mom, you know, a regular person living in a relatively mainstream life, but in a non-ordinary way.
Mm. I love the letting go of the expectation. I read many years ago, I am not my mind, I am not my body. And we create this vision of what things are supposed to be, like you said, what they're supposed to look like, how you're supposed to show up. The key word there is supposed to. Right. And when we can step into, it's like stepping off the cliff and trust that there's going to be something there to catch you.
That's right. And there always is. If you really let go, it's the scariest thing for the ego, because the ego, it exists solely as a function and as a tool for the physical world. So it doesn't understand what it cannot see, what it cannot predict. It only likes to have control. And so when we let go, the mind just goes berserk. You know, it really wants to control it all. But if we can let that mind be there and be very compassionate, but simply witness the mind, because we're not our mind, exactly as you said. So if we can witness our mind, what is it that we are? Who are we? We are beyond that which is mind. We are beyond that which is emotion. So that which is beyond the mind and the emotion that can serve as this higher witness is also what can access resources that we cannot perceive through our mind alone. And when we do let go, not only will we be caught, not only will we be protected, we'll soar, we'll fly into experiences we didn't know were possible.
Well, out of the words of Lori Lipton, I have chills from head to toe.
Aww.
And sister, we are down to the wire here. We have two minutes left. Many times I have guests on my show that I wish I could go at least an hour long. So this isn't our first time to get together on radio, and I know it will not be our last. Definitely grateful that you have joined me here. And I love to ask my guests to leave the listeners with one thought, but before you do that, I want to remind you, listeners, that you can find all of Lori Lipton's information on the Soulful Living page here at empowerradio.com. There's a few things that we didn't get to talk about, like some amazing retreats that she has and classes, and I encourage you to jump online and check those all out. And I guess that just warrants another segment of talking about retreats. So, Lori, what would you say is one of the most important things that we as humans can do to take out into our day to experience a more soulful way of living?
I would say that you are living in heaven now, that it is not a destination that exists beyond this life, but that it is an experience that you can tap into by learning to breathe deeply into your body, to witness the world through your heart, through that eye that goes beyond the physical eyes, to see the exquisiteness of all life around you, to look into the heart of your own essence and to the heart of others, and to bring that point of view, that perspective of love and kindness and exquisiteness into this moment, and you will begin to experience the heaven that is here on this planet right now.
Thank you. Beautiful way to end the show, and thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Carrie.